About it, but you know, this week we're not going to talk about the elephant in the room.
What?
Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. You know, I've been had more go on this week in my life spiritually probably than I ever have, perhaps ever. It's been an interesting week, to say the least. And by the way, if you guys, I would invite everybody, if you don't come to prayer on Wednesday night, or can get to prayer on Wednesday night, come. And we had such an awesome time Wednesday night in prayer. It was just so good. That's about all I can say about it. It was just awesome. There was a lot of words that came forth, and God is good. Amen. One of the things that I want to start with is God laid a scripture on my heart when all of this started, and it was in, I believe it's Luke chapter 5. It's the parable of putting new wine in old wineskins. And in that parable, although it's talking about the new covenant and the old covenant, one of the things that God showed me was that there's the old and there's the new. And one of the things that that scripture talks about is we don't put new wine in old wineskins because it would burst the old wineskins. So I am not Pastor Jim. Thank God I'm not Pastor Jim. Please don't compare me to him because you might be disappointed. Pastor Jim is Pastor Jim, and I'm Barry. So I just asked this morning that as we go forth, that keep in mind that I'm just me. I'm just who I am. We love Pastor Jim and Michelle very, very much. But God has called us to a new point in his works that he's going to do. And we are so excited. Janice was a little apprehensive at first. She's like, I'm not gonna be a pastor's wife. She has been giddier than I think I've ever seen her ever, and been excited about this. So we are very, very excited about what God's gonna do. So one of the things that, as I was praying about a message, that when I used to prepare messages, one of the things that I used to do is go online. What did we do before Google? Maybe we used the Bible. I don't know. But one of the things that God laid on my heart is stop listening to what man is saying and listen to what I'm saying. And I said, okay, God, put in my heart what you want me to say. Don't put in my heart what other men are saying. Put in your heart what you want me to say. And I started writing, well, typing. I don't write. I'm a computer guy, so I got to type. But I started typing, and I couldn't stop. I just kept going and going. So I've got a whole series on God's balance sheet. And if those of you who know me know that I'm a business guy. So balance sheet, if you know anything about business or finances, I won't bore you with the details too much, but it's about balancing assets and liabilities and making sure that when we manage our money, that our money's balanced, right? God has balance. How many have ever tried to balance something in their life? It might be work and home. It might be church and home. It might be your spouse and your kids. It'd be lots of things that we need to balance in our life. And we're always trying to balance them. I kind of like this picture because there's more than one thing we're always balancing at the same time. I like to watch my wife bring groceries in. When my wife brings groceries in from the house, she's one of these people that has to get every single bag in one trip. She'll have four bags up this arm and four bags up this arm, and she'll walk in, she'll be kicking the salt pellets for the water softener, and then she'll use her teeth to get the door. She balances all of that. And then she says, well, you know, you could help me. Well, I probably could, but it's more fun to watch her do all of that. As she balances all of these things and she gets all the groceries in the house and somehow she gets them all on the table without dropping or breaking anything. She's really good at balance. Me, on the other hand, can kind of be a little bit clumsy at times. She's nodding her head. She's not supposed to agree with me. When we first started dating, I'll tell you a story on myself. Janice and I started dating in junior high school. That was a long time ago. That was about some many years ago. And I always tried to be a gentleman when we opening car doors and opening things like that. And on our front step my mom had this nice flower pot that she had with flowers in it, decorated and things like that. And so I think it was the first or second time that Janice, I invited her over to our house, and she had to meet my mom and dad. And so I go up to the door to open the door, and I don't pay attention to this flower pot that's right there. And when I back up, oh, and by the way, we have bushes like in the front of our house. So I back up and I fall over the flower pot and land on my back in the middle of the bushes. And Janice, in her loving way, laughs at me. And I said, "Are you going to help me or what?" Because I'm laying there on my back, embarrassed to death about being balanced. When we were in Florida, now my whole life, I've always wanted a hammock. Now I know hammocks are not expensive, and I could probably just go out and buy one, but I never went out and bought one. And I always wanted a hammock. Hammocks are so fun. We had this apartment we were in Florida for a little while, and I decided I was going to sit in one of their hammocks that were there. Well, how complicated can a hammock be? So I go and carefully back up to this hammock, and I think, oh, this is going to be easy. I'm just going to sit down nice and easy. And I sat down nice and easy, and the hammock goes, and I landed on my head. And everybody else thought it was really funny. I didn't think it was so funny. But over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about balance. And there's lots of areas that we're going to cover in balance. But one of the things that's been the kind of the foundation, or has been the foundation of this church, is grace and the grace message. And one of the first balances that we're going to talk about is the balance between grace and faith. Now, if some of you remember back a few years, if you've been around that long, Pastor Jim taught out of a book by Andrew Womack called The Balance of Grace and Faith, and that is an excellent book. If you haven't read it, I would recommend it. But I didn't pull anything out of that book because God says, I want this to come out of me. I want my word to flow through you. So we're going to talk about the balance of grace and faith. So let's first talk about what is grace. I know you all know this. This is not new for you. But grace is, I think this next slide. Oh, nope, I don't have a slide on that. But grace means the unmerited or undeserved favor. Unmerited or undeserved favor. It's interesting that we sometimes go back and think, well, we didn't deserve this. Why didn't we deserve this? Well, we're all sinners. We didn't deserve this because we're all sinners, and we sin, so we didn't deserve this. But that's not what this verse talks about. I think I got way out of line on my order, but that's okay. We'll go with the verse that's up there. Ephesians, by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We've all heard this verse before, right? A couple of times maybe throughout the history of this church. For by grace, we are saved through faith, right? Okay. But so many times, and it says because it's a gift of God, not any works. It has nothing to do with our sin. It has only to do with what we don't do. We can't do anything to earn His grace. There's nothing we can do to earn His grace. It has nothing to do with our sin. In fact, it's funny how I see the church continue to focus on sin. When we were in Florida, we had the opportunity to go to several churches when we were in Florida. We went to a Baptist church for quite a while. Loved the pastor and his wife. Fantastic people. We got to go to a Church of God church, which was an awesome church. The wife, we led worship there for quite a while. God just brings us to places. But it's interesting that the message about grace just isn't out there. And we were really, really kind of concerned about the fact that the grace message was not being preached out there. I still go on the internet and look at what's going on and Googled grace and faith just to see what would come up. And of course, Andrew Womack books come up as one of the first thing. But there was an article in Charisma magazine. And I don't subscribe to Charisma or anything like that. But there was an article in Charisma, and I don't remember who authored it, But one of the first lines in that, it says, those out there preaching the grace message are preaching heresy. And I'm like, where is this coming from? I don't understand this. I had lots of really, really good conversations with my pastor in Florida. He and I are really good friends, and although we didn't always agree on our theology, we were still brothers in Christ. So we still loved each other, even though we didn't disagree on things. But he was all about focusing on sin, and he was all about, in fact, at one time we had went out for lunch, and he says, yeah, he says, it's my job to go around the church as pastor and point out people's sin in their lives. It's like, no, it's not. It's our job to love people. It's our job to accept people as they are. That's what our job is. He asked me one time, he said, what sin do you struggle with most, brother? And I thought about that for a minute. I thought, that's kind of an odd question. I said, I don't struggle with sin. I just do it. But seriously, he said, what do you mean you don't struggle with sin? And I said, well, it says in 1 John 3 that whoever's born of God doesn't commit sin. Also, another verse that we're all familiar with said in Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. I'm not under the law of sin and death anymore. We're not under that law anymore. Hallelujah. We've been set free from that. And yet, I still don't understand how people still focus on that. But grace covers all of that. If you're in Christ Jesus, grace covers all of that. Our sins are as far as the east is from the west. Now, we might be sitting there thinking, let's see, Bloomington's about 47 miles from here, and that's east of us. And let's see, Peoria is about, 10 miles from us. So our sins are 57 miles away from us. No. God doesn't even see whatever we have done if we're in Christ Jesus, because grace covers it all. I love my granddaughter, Jade. She is 7 years old, and she is the sweetest little girl in the world. She never does anything wrong. She's perfect in Grandpa's eyes. And she loves Hershey chocolate. She will, if you have a package of Hershey candy bars, she will take the package of Hershey candy bars into the bedroom and hide them and eat them because she loves Hershey candy bars. And then when she comes out, well, let's just say she's on a sugar high. But Jade is kind of like, this chocolate is kind of like sin. As long as it's in front of you and you're focusing on it and you see, and all you see is that Hershey chocolate, you want it. You're focusing on it. So Janice and I, we always buy these packages with graham crackers and stuff for s'mores because we have a fire pit and we like s'mores and we like to do that stuff. And so he said, let's hide it from Jade so she can't see it. Well, she might come up and ask, hey, Grandma, do you have any chocolate that I can have? And so one day, Grandma went into the closet where she had it hidden, and Jade saw where she had it hidden. So Jade now knows where the chocolate's at. So guess what? The next time we go to have s'mores, we don't have any chocolate. So Janice finds a better hiding place because sometimes I know I like to eat chocolate sometimes too. But I didn't even know where it was at. So now when Jade asks for chocolate, Grandma just says, we don't have any. And you know what? She forgets about it. Because when we're not focused on something and it's out of the way, as far as the east is from the west, it doesn't matter anymore. And that's where Jade was with her chocolate. But it's not about what we do either. Well, but you don't understand, Barry. I pray 4 hours a day. I should have God's grace because I pray all the time. Nope, it's not what it's about. In fact, the Bible says we should pray without ceasing anyway. But you don't understand. I sing on the worship team. Surely that earns me God's grace. Nope, been earning any grace at all. Okay, I get it. It's not anything I can do. But what about, you know, what about these people who commit murder? What about these people that are on death row for multiple murders? What about these rapists? What about these homosexuals and lesbians? What about them? God's grace covers them too. Because it's not anything we can do. His grace covers us. His grace covers us. But what about that guy who cut me off in traffic the other day and I called him a moron? Janice used to get after me all the time. When we moved to Florida, by the way, don't ever complain about traffic around here. If you do, spend a week in Tampa. The worst traffic in the world. And I think God purposely put the worst drivers in the world to test my faith. Because there's guys going in and out of traffic, 100 miles an hour. In fact, I-4 is dubbed the worst, most deadly highway in four. I-4 between Tampa and Orlando is the most deadly highway in the world. There's about 2 deaths a day on that stretch of highway because people are crazy. And I do call them morons sometimes. So you have to pray for me. But guess what? God's grace covers it all. God's grace covers it all. So let's talk for a minute about faith. So grace is what God already provided on the cross 2,000 years ago. That was God's part. Let's talk a little bit about faith. And I pulled up 2 scriptures here, if you can. You've seen faith means to completely believe and completely trust. That's what the dictionary says. Let's see what the Bible says in Hebrews 11. Now, this is the NIV. Now, faith is trust in what we hope and assurance about what we do not see. I kind of like the King James a little bit better. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And by the way, it's supposed to be things, not tings. I'm just seeing who pays attention up here. So anyway, once in a while I typo a few things. So substance, what's the definition of substance? I like to look things up in the dictionary. That of which a thing consists, physical matter or material, the actual matter of a thing, as opposed to the appearance or shadow. It's reality. Substance is reality. So, can I steal this chair for a second? This chair, right here. Everybody see this chair? If you can't. This chair has substance. It's real. You all have substance. Some of us more than others. But substance, it's real. This chair is real. All right. We'll talk about the chair in a minute. Not the elephant, though. Evidence. This one I really like. That which tends to prove or disprove something, grounds for belief, prove beyond a reasonable doubt. So there's evidence of things, right? There's evidence that Janice is right here. There's evidence that we are married. We have a marriage certificate. There's evidence that Ryan's my son because I have a birth certificate. Sorry, it proves it. Might not admit it. There's evidence that we are saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized. We are whole. We are healed because there's a covenant that says we are. There's evidence of that. So grace is God's part. Now, I can come along and say, this chair isn't here. But does that make it true? It's still here, right? Even if I don't believe that it's here, it's here. Faith says, I have faith that this chair is here. I believe it's here. Are all of you sitting in a chair? You had faith enough in that chair to sit down and believe that it's going to hold you. Why? You trust the chair. You trust that if I sit down in this chair, Now watch it break. That this chair is going to hold me. We trust. We have faith. There's evidence that that chair is there. But trust is an interesting thing. Trust is an interesting thing. I love the definitions of trust that were in the dictionary. Trust is reliance on the integrity, strength, ability, surety of a person or thing. We rely on the integrity of this chair. It's going to hold us up when we're here. Confident expectation of something. Hope. And the third one, I love the third one. Confidence in the certainty of a payment for property or goods received. He paid a debt we did not owe. We owed a debt he could not pay. And trust, we trust in God. Amen? But here's something that I always found interesting. We as believers, if you're a believer, we all know the verse that says, if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, we will be saved. That's all it takes. We have to believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he was raised from the dead. Now, I've never seen anybody raised from the dead. I don't know if any of you have. I know that it happens. Have any of you ever seen anybody raised from the dead? No. But we trust that. He was raised from the dead. And not only was he raised from the dead, but before that happened, God loved us so much. God's love is so deep and so wide. It's wider and deeper than any ocean is. I watched a special on TV the other night about oceans, and this kind of hit me because one of the things that we're talking about is there are thousands and thousands of miles in depths of the oceans that we've never explored because that's how vast the ocean is, yet God's love for us is greater than that. There's areas of God's love that we haven't even seen or explored or seen the depths of his love yet. He loves us so much, but God so loved the world that he gave his only son, Jesus Christ. How many trust that he did that? Half of us do. The other half you get on board later. We trust that God sent his only son. We trust in this God. Now, psychologists say those who believe in God are delusional, the worldly ones. But yet we trust in this God who created this vast universe that we can't even fathom in our own mind. That he took his son, his only son, sent him to die on the cross. And not just to die on the cross, but to die a brutal death on the cross. And then when he dies, 3 days later, he's raised again. And he went down to hell and defeated death in the grave. And we can believe that and we can trust that. But when it comes to trusting for the little things, sometimes we struggle with that, like our healing, like our prosperity, like trusting God for our finances, like trusting God for these other things. So, grace is God's part. He already did it. The chair's here. He already did it. Our part is really easy. Well, Barry, you said we didn't have to do anything. We don't. We just have to have faith. That's all we have to have, that this chair is here. Now, we can say that chair's not there and never sit in it, right? Isn't that our choice to say, well, I don't believe in this chair. I think if I sit in that chair, it's going to fall apart and break. I don't believe in that chair and never sit in it. But if we have faith that the chair's there, we aren't doing anything other than, hey, that chair's here, it's going to hold me. I trust it. See how simple that is? I trust it. We trust in what God's doing. So why do we struggle with those trust things? Part of it is relationship. We've all heard the scripture, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That hearing is building relationship. Getting in God's word is building relationship with Him. We have to have a relationship with God. I mentioned Janice and I started dating in high school. And the very first words I said to you is, I love you. No, of course it wasn't. I didn't say that. She'd have slapped me across the face probably. Why? We hadn't built any trust yet. We didn't know each other very well. We were still trying to figure out, you know, does he really like me? Does she really like me? Does she like me, or does she just like me? Those are things we try and figure out as we're building relationships. And that relationship that we have with God and that relationship we have to work on that. I'm going to be a little bit carnal. Is that okay for just a minute? Psychologists say that we have to hear something 21 times to get it into our belief system. Just 21 times. There was a story I read about a guy that used to get in his car, and he lived right by a railroad track. And he'd come up and he'd stop at that railroad track every day, look both ways, make sure no trains come, and drive across and go to work. He did this for 20 years. Remember, it only takes 21 times to get something in your belief system. He got in his belief system that there's never going to be anything on that track. He believed that there would never be anything on that track. It was in his belief system. One day he comes to work, stops, looks both ways, and drives right into a train and is killed. Because he believed that there would never be a train on that track. He didn't even see it. He didn't even see that track. We sometimes, as believers, get things in our belief system. Oh, and by the way, after something's in our belief systems, this is according to psychologists, it takes 287 times to get it out of our belief system. So 21 times we're believing something, and it's wrong, and 287 times to get it out. That's why it's so important to study God's Word. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Growing up, I know a lot of people that may not have had perfect fathers. I was blessed. I lived in a great Christian home, great family. Well, except for Kim, but you know. She's my sister, if you don't know. But there are people who said, hey, Dad, why don't you come to my sporting event, my basketball game, my football game, whatever sporting event. And Dad says, oh, I'll come this weekend. And this weekend comes and it goes. And Dad doesn't show up. Okay, he had something, he was busy. And the next weekend comes and, Dad, why don't you come to my football game? I'll be there. Weekend comes and goes and he's not there. So what do you think happens after 21 times of that occurring if the psychologists are right? We stop trusting our Father because we think He's not going to be there anymore. How many of you have ever been disappointed by somebody in your life? I think we all have, whether it's a father or a mother. Yet in all the times in the Bible, we talk about how God is our Father. And yet in the natural, we have in our belief system that our Father, we can't trust our Father, but God is our Father. Isn't that interesting how sometimes we can't trust God for those things because perhaps something in our life is stopping that from happening. There are other people that I've heard stories that are just heart-wrenching about the lives they've had as children growing up. There was a worship leader at a church that we got to know pretty well, and he would never sing the song, I Am a Child of God, because he had such a terrible life growing up as a family. To him, being a child of God was painful and it hurt because he didn't trust his Father, so it was hard for him to trust God. So where am I going with this? I don't know. I'll find out in just a minute. Faith, the Bible says we're to have faith like a child. We're to have faith like a child because as adults and grown-ups and people who have been in the world and people who have been hurt by people and people who have learned to not trust other people, Kids never went through that. My grandson, I love my grandson. See, I get to talk about my grandkids now. I love to talk about my grandkids. My grandson, Landon, is 8 years old. And when we moved to Florida, he was only 4 years old. And when we first moved there, of course, we had to get an apartment before we could get a house. We had to have a place to stay. So we stayed in an apartment. And one of the things that Landon prayed every night, one of his prayers, said, "Lord, let Grandma and Grandpa find a house." Every night he prayed that in his prayers. One night, Brianna called us and said, "Did you guys buy a house?" And we said, "No, not yet." "Why?" "Because Landon said he doesn't have to pray anymore. It's already been done." The next day, we bought a house. When we moved to Tampa, so we were in Gainesville, we moved to Tampa. Same scenario, we got an apartment, which we hated with passion, and we were praying, "God, please find a house." But you know what? God had something else in mind. Because when we were in that apartment building, Ryan met his wife, Sarah. Of course, it wasn't his wife then, but you know how it works. And that's, if we hadn't been in that apartment and gone, and Ryan had gone to the church that was a block from the apartment, he would have never, ever met Sarah. I'm so thankful that he did. But Landon was praying every night, "Lord, let Grandma and Grandpa find a house. Let Papa and Mama find a house." And same thing happened. "Hey, did you guys find a house?" "No, not yet." Well, Landon stopped praying. He says he doesn't have to pray anymore because it's already done. The faith of a child. And guess what? In 2 days, we had our house in Florida. Landon prays for things. He's our little prophet. I'm telling you what, that kid will pray for something, and he'll keep praying for it and believing. He has no reason to not trust that it's going to happen. He trusts that it's going to happen. Because he's never been through the hurts and the pains and all of the things that we've been through as believers, and we don't trust. Faith like a little child. Amen? Amen. Amen. We'll continue this as it's 11:30, so I won't be too long-winded because we have a couple of other things going on in the service this morning. But we will continue this series about faith and grace. Had another whole nother session on that. God is good. Amen. 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 We're going to